Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Life Autistic, and this is episode number 678, and I'm so happy today, sort of. Well, you know, it's a Zenith Autistic happy type day, because it's about something that most people won't think you should care anything about. And I guess the title of this is going to be, The Apache Server Changeover with Bandwidth Shaping episode. And I don't talk a lot about technical things on this podcast. In fact, I'm hard-pressed to remember when the last time I did was, but I'm going to bring it up because every once in a while I get a question that says, you know, Jay, we'll grant you you're kind of an odd egg, but I don't think you're autistic. You certainly don't sound like an autistic person particularly. They're all into computers and stuff like that. So, and I'm not really interested in proving it to anybody, except for the whole point of, I hate getting that accusation because then people think I'm being disingenuous and jerky and things like that, and trying to ride the fame of autism, you know. And it's like, okay, all right, do you want to know why? Let me tell you how this podcast goes, how you get it, how it's served out on my end. I've been doing recordings for a long time, approximately a little over four years. And that isn't the podcast itself. I probably haven't been doing the podcast for more than a little over a year. But I've been doing these recordings for a long time, testing how I was going to do it. I told people that I do these recordings in a car. One of the many reasons why the sound quality is not like CD quality. I think it's really stupid to make an audio kind of spoken podcast CD quality. That's just a waste of bandwidth in my estimation. I serve this podcast, it actually served from my own equipment. It is not served from some huge server that I pay, you know, a rental fee on. I actually control all the hardware that this stuff is served from. It's served from my home server. There's a few technical things that needed to be true for it to work. I record this recording, all my recordings really, at 8K BPS, which is really, really slow. It's about 1K a second kind of recording speed, which is kind of interesting. Anyway, I used to record, a lot of my recordings now I could care less. When I started, I would make a recording that could fit on a floppy disk, a 1.4 megabyte floppy disk. And that was kind of one of my little sticks. And when you did that, I could fit almost 23 minutes of audio on an MP3 file that would fit on a floppy disk. And let me tell you how many people were amazed by that. I had to get a better headset to accommodate the distortion problems that inherently come with it. And the headset I have now is the one I've had for, had this for about 3 years. And it's excellent, does a good job, didn't cost a whole lot, I think it cost like $50, but that was a while back. Now you could probably get it on the leftover rack for $10. But I record these at 8K BPS, mono, you know, because there's no point having me in stereo. That's just stupid, too. It doesn't make my voice any more intelligible. It just doubles the bandwidth instantly. So you can hear some kind of stereo separation, which is kind of silly. I'm not doing music, so it's not, you know, high fidelity is pointless. So I put up on my server. My server runs on Debian Woody, which is Debian 3.0. Quite old. It was probably current in 2004, which is about the time that I kind of settled on servers. I've had many, many servers, used many, many different versions of Linux, a few of OpenBSD and NetBSD. I've never used Windows as a server. I can't say that. I did use Windows once as a server because it was kind of pushed on me. But that was before I got really familiar with Linux. So I like Debian Woody. It's just at the right mix for me of kind of from the kind of eclectic age of Linux up until it became very business-like and it shucked a lot of older things. I use a 2.2 point, I think it's 25 version of the Linux kernel. So that's really old. Right now you're in 2.6 point whatever. A couple of generations past what I'm using now, at least for this server. I have more up-to-date stuff. I really do. But, you know, my server's kind of an older computer. The computer that I'm using right now is chosen specifically for its power consumption. It uses a 90-watt power supply. I actually just got it as kind of a gift not very long ago at all. I used to run on a much larger, much more capable machine. But I rolled back to this machine just for the power consumption. I really wanted to turn down my power consumption. With the price of electricity, it becomes useful to do that. It's a Gateway 333C. It's only a 333 megahertz server. I've had larger ones. Well, faster ones. I run the whole thing on probably a combination of about 12 gig of hard drive and about 96 megs of RAM. Servers don't need a ton of stuff unless you've got the server doing a ton of stuff. And in the past, I've been really, really interested in trying to make my server as low resource as I could, which was kind of funny because I always had somewhat of a pretty decently powered server that it was running on, you know. Didn't really require all these weird little hijinks. And so I've worked on different concepts in the past on the server that I have. I still use a very low bandwidth server on the Gopher side. My Gopher server software is called MGOD 0.5. If you don't know what Gopher is, go look it up on the internet. You'll find out that I'm an absolute freak for even touching Gopher. But you know what? Honestly, I don't care. I don't care what you think. I used Gopher when I first started, and it just kind of makes my heart sing, and I live in that paradigm. You can get these podcast episodes and the rest of my recordings on the Gopher side. I'm not going to tell you what clients to use. I think that part of the fun of it is it is an exclusive club, but the club that requires you to do something. It isn't just like you just go, oh, okay, I'll just go over there and get it. You know, you're going to have to exercise a couple of brain cells to get it done. I'm not saying it's difficult. I'm just saying that you're going to have to do a few things. And so there you go. If you want to go on the Gopher server, feel free to go to my website, quix.us, and it has a link there to get to Quix and Gopher Space, and then you can get your information from there on how to do that. I have some extremely antiquated ways of letting people get access to the Gopher server. One of them you can actually dial up. It's very old-fashioned, probably the Vogue 30 years ago when I first got started in computers. You had to dial in. And it wasn't a BBS, really. It was just mostly you could go in and start looking for information in Gopher Space, as it was called back then. And you can still do that. Anyway, I use that. It's very low bandwidth. In fact, it runs on the Internet Super Server, which is something that almost every older Linux or Unix computer has. And it and that means that the actual software that serves the Gopher doesn't even run until somebody makes a request to have it do something. And so it isn't daemon based. It's actually run by INETD, which is the Internet Super Server. That's still kind of a holdover from the old days. I'm not really looking to change it particularly. You know, it's a pretty good setup. It's very basic. It's it does the job. It's all I ask it to do for all the people that actually access Gopher in the world. It's there. You can get it through dial-up. You can get it through Telnet, or you can do it with some kind of a Gopher client, and I'll leave it up to you to decide how you're going to do that. How that's done, I'm not in teaching mode. And I don't know if I ever will be again, particularly. Except when I'm paid to do some teaching, then I'll do that. People find that I'm a very, often sometimes a very impatient teacher. I expect people to use their brains. And I'm very happy when they do. I get really... Now, I totally understand people who don't choose to, who feel like they should be using their brains for other purposes. I understand that completely. But that also means that they don't get to play in the big leagues. You know, they don't get to go out and, you know, pitch in Dodger Stadium, for instance. You just don't get to do that if you're not willing to put forth the effort. And that's kind of what the Gopher sign is. Of course, I got a website. And I've been working a little bit more on the website, which prompted the change that I have made. And for a long, long time, probably for at least 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, all of my web stuff has been served up by a server called THTTPD. Now you say, well, that's a really stupid name. And you go, no, for techie-free people, it's very appropriate. It's actually the sound that Bill the Cat makes when he's doing what he does. And if you don't know anything about Bill the Cat, put that into a search engine and do some research on it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and try to explain the universe to you people. If you guys are just, you know, if you want to be brought up to speed really easily... you can't be. You know, you don't get to be a sophisticated, well, I don't know if I'm sophisticated, you don't get to be a person that has some real insights into things unless you've done some of the work. It's not my job to do that. Anyway, the big thing about THTTP is, number one, it's pretty low load. It's very basic, very simple. Written by a guy named Jeff Posner. I'll butcher it, so I won't even try. Great guy. Somewhat of an anarchist. Anyway, he's a... I haven't seen anything he's really played with in ages. PHTTPD is something that has not been updated for a while. You know, probably 3, maybe even 4 years. And so it's pretty stable. But everybody who uses it's very happy with it. It doesn't get a lot of crash. Of course, it's not used much anymore. So I've been using PHTTPD for a long time, and one of its great features that I just started to use once I started doing this podcast was throttling. It's called bandwidth throttling, and it's made so that somebody who's dragging down a whole bunch of my website that they can't suck it all down and use up all my bandwidth, because I don't pay for bandwidth particularly. You know, it isn't like all of a sudden I'll get this huge bill because a ton of people have decided to use my web server. That's how it works when you've got your content basically on somebody else's server, and they have a meter on it, and they charge you by how much you're willing to, you know, by how much the website gets used, how much bandwidth it requires them to get. I don't do that because I just buy the straight amount. I have about 256 up, 256 down when it comes to bandwidth, which is very, very small. I know most of you are going, ha, that's just crazy, Jay. Well, you know, it's better than dial-up, which is what I used to use. And so this is just fine. I'm intelligent enough that I can keep down the bandwidth issues and not have problems. And I refuse to pay a lot of money. My payments right now are right at about $34 a month. And I think they intend to stay that way. Or I hope it stays that way. Well, they may tell me pretty soon they're going to have to up my rates by a few bucks or $5 or whatever. Luckily, my ISP is based in Seattle, Washington, so the cost of electricity is really quite stable there and rather low. So they, as an ISP, they do a nice service for me. Anyway, it used to be blarg.net. When I joined it, it was Blarg. Now it's called Avanta, A-V-V-A-N-T-A. And they do a lot of DSL they run a DSL ISP that I like because they have a pretty low price server-based one. You know, it's actually legal for me to be on the internet. I have a static IP address. I have all the things that you would expect a real technology company to. I graduated up from a dynamic IP address about a year and a half ago. And server used to live in my mom's house and staff off of her internet connection, because for quite a while we didn't have an internet connection. And so I decided to get one back, and this is what I came up with for ours. And I'm quite happy with it. It's quite a good little setup. Anyway, so I have been using PHTTPD for quite a while. Well, I decided I want to do some different things for Navigium. I have to reduce barriers just for myself personally to composing. I compose on the computer. And I would just as soon compose straight to a publicly accessible server. I decided that I'm going to do Navigium as not really open source. I mean, it's really easy to be open source. Every single book in the world is open source for the simple reason that you can't hide the text. You know, people want to read the text, you have to kind of let them have it. And that's all the intelligence there is. It isn't like the book won't work unless you have a special key or something. Anyway, so I'm going to put on it a Creative Commons license. And it's going to be, you know, certainly it's going to have attribution, you know, attributed to me. I don't think I'm going to do share alike. You know, I'm not really sure. I'm going to have to look at all the nuances of it. And then doing a book that way is a little bit slicky-tricky. I always figured if you put something on a website, you kind of want it to be viewable to everybody, and people didn't have to pay per view, by and large. And I don't like doing it that way. That's just glitchy and weird, and I don't think it's really terribly useful. Although I could now that I've walled it up so I can have the capability. Anyway, I was getting all this stuff done and looking at how I was going to do it, and I've always liked WikiWiki, which is, I first discovered it back in 2000. And it wasn't really new then, particularly, but certainly before it became any kind of interesting thing. It's become semi-famous. Although I don't think people still don't really get the gist of it particularly. It does simplify creating web content. And my web content's very basic. I don't do pictures. I don't do attachments or anything like that. I'm not trying to make this a content management system to manage all my web affairs. Although I have tried Wiki a few times in the past for that. Always found it kludgy and didn't really like it very much for that kind of functionality. Although I do that now at work with the documentation website that I run there. It's run off of a wiki that has some more content management features. Anyway, so what else did I do? I was looking at different ways that I could do it with just the setup I have now. THTTPD, it can do CGI, but you have to actually have everything inside the chroot jail that THTTPD runs in, or sets up to run in. And if you don't understand this, if this is all gibberish to you, don't forget that this is to prove the point that I am a techie, and therefore I can do things that make me very autistic. If you doubt my autism by the end of this one, I will reveal to you that I'm not. Okay, so anyway, it doesn't matter. I was running this setup, I was jiggling with it, trying to get CGI to work, was just getting kind of frustrated with THTTPD, and you have to understand, the biggest, the most established web server software is called Apache. It's been around for quite a while. It began as an open source port of the CERN HTTPD, which was basically the first HTTP server. It's the first server that does the World Wide Web, for those of you who don't understand the acronyms or how these things work, which is most of you. You know, just because you can pick up a web browser and you can go out and you can get to Google and stuff like that doesn't make you a web expert. You may be a very competent user, but, you know, if I stuck you in front of a server, you go, oh, what's this? I don't understand. Well, where's the graphics? It's like, oh, God, forget it, go home. You know, I'm not trying to pick on people like that. I understand some people have skills this way and some don't. Some will never be able to grasp it. Many people at least can grasp it enough to do just standard little basic stuff, setting up a server. So I decided, well, let's give Apache a chance again. Now, I don't like using the most up-to-date stuff. I tend to stick with what's ever in the Woody Debian distribution. And so I pulled up the Apache version. It's 1.3.26, I seem to recall. And this is not the most up-to-date. The most up-to-date is Apache 2 point, who knows what point it's at now, but the next rendition of it. A much more interesting server. Well, I can't say it's much more interesting. It was built off of a new way of doing it. But I'm just fine with HTTP 1.3. With older technology, you tend to have established, number one, it tends to be stable because it's old and it's been working. Most of the security problems have been worked out. And what few things there are, what few vulnerabilities it has, tend not to be exploited anymore because it's of limited value. People don't tend to write viruses for antiquities because it's not fun. You won't get noticed. You only get noticed if the newest and the coolest thing that everybody's using, if you can take that thing down, if you can hack that. That's where prestige comes from. That's what most cracking type of people, sorry, use the right term, cracker. Hackers are just fine. Crackers are evil. How do you say it? Anyway, if you use older stuff, you usually have established things, and you don't have a lot of people trying to crack into the older stuff. You know, older stuff is boring, older stuff isn't used very much anymore. And so it's no fun, so nobody's really writing new exploits for old stuff. Because it's just no fun anymore. And so that's why I tend to use old stuff, you know. It tends to do better on older hardware, which is what I have. It's not terribly old, but if I stay a couple of steps behind what my server is capable of doing, it just runs like a bat out of Hades. So that's kind of what I'm doing, even though I could probably use more up-to-date software, why bother? So I got that older version of Apache, 1.3.26, and started dinking around with it to get the way I want to. I run several virtual servers. You can do that with THTTP. Sorry. And you can also run that on Apache as well. So I got all that done. The setups are significantly different. So you have to kind of study a little bit and work on it. Well, I finally got everything up running yesterday, except for the throttling. And I really find the throttling useful with this podcast especially because my internet connection isn't just to do serving off of this, off the server. It's not, it's total purpose of life. If it was, I wouldn't bother doing bandwidth throttling. The connection itself would do the bandwidth throttling. You know, just can't fit through the pipe. And if you can't fit through the pipe, well, then you're not going to get it. And that's kind of how that works. Well, anyway, so yesterday I got it up to the point to where everything was back together. Most of you hopefully didn't notice any problems with the server particularly. You know, the downtime was slight at best, both yesterday and today while we did the big changeover. We actually changed over web servers. Hopefully nobody even noticed. Of course, I run a very low usage website, you know. I don't know how many hits I ultimately get. No, I've kept logs of it. And it isn't much. It isn't much. I'll maybe get a couple of thousand hits a day, which is pretty low, honestly. And most of those hits come from, web spiders out looking around for content. So, you know, I get some from Google. I get some from the various podcasting things. They spider me quite often. And, oh, there it is. So, I got all the Adobe server up and running, kind of backgrounded the old server, the HTTP server, D server, sorry, keep forgetting to put the D for the demon on the end. Kind of backgrounded that, shoved it to another port that nobody can really get to. It was still physically there and physically running, but it wasn't getting any it wasn't getting any requests. The requests were going to the new Adobe server. And everything was just cooking along pretty good. Well, I still knew that I had to get this bandwidth throttling issue done. Oh, and I worked that over. Doing steady. Tried to do it with mod throttling or mod throttle, and really didn't like that. It's made for different circumstances. I just really wanted the kind of throttle that I basically had with HTTPD, which was really basic, which is just really, if somebody is serving stuff to this site, drop, don't send packets so fast. It's just that simple. When I'm sitting in front of the server and I let it go full throttle, it comes down a pretty fast clip. But while you're doing that, it takes, it sucks a ton of bandwidth. And if there's one of my kids down trying to do some research for a paper or something like that, all of a sudden the internet feels like it's dead. It's not even working. So that's why we put throttling on it. And so I worked on mod throttle, and that just didn't work at all. And finally, I guess mod bandwidth was actually, it wasn't dynamically linked. It wasn't a DLO. It was I guess it was statically linked into Apache itself. And got it up, got it running just a couple of hours ago. And did the final test, and boy, is it throttling back excellently. Just beautifully, beautifully. And hopefully continued to give good service. I throttled it way back for a couple, Number one, I think my podcast actually does quite a bit better than most just because it's very low bandwidth, most of my recordings are between 1 and 2 megs. Total file size for the entire episode. And that can be a 1 hour episode. Well, I can't say that. The 1 hour episodes are almost 3 megs. Can get up to 3 megs, the ones that are an hour or over. But there it is. And I kind of throttle it back to the point to where it kind of comes down at the same approximate speed-wise that most other podcasts that I get to that are of a comparable size. I kind of compare myself to Twit, which is highly produced, big old file size, it's 43, 44, 45 megs for an hour or so. It's studio quality FM type stuff. I think it's kind of nuts. Just gives a bunch of talking heads. And I try to throttle it back to where it takes about the same amount of time. I think mine still comes down a little bit faster than something like that of a comparable time duration. Now, you guys know that my sound quality will never be as good. There's at least a dozen reasons why that will always be true. Number one, because I'm not willing to put anything more into it. Number two, because I'm usually recording while I'm riding in a car. Here I am. I'm in my car. I'm on the way to Clayton, New Mexico again. And there's nothing else to do except yak, yak, yak on the radio or listen to the radio. It's boring. So I might as well record a podcast. Oh, what else? And what are some other criteria? I don't use any kind of sophisticated mixers. I don't do anything like that. Just a USB microphone hooked up to an OQO OnePlus portable computer. Really little itty bitty fella. This thing is just the tiniest little thing. It's about the size of two decks of cards. In fact, I think two decks of cards is a little larger than this computer is. You know, two decks of cards placed side by side. Anyway, so that's basically my recording equipment, and then I upload it from this computer up to the server. And I usually do two or three episodes per trip, and so I usually have a pretty good backlog. I try to put up a new podcast episode on the feed. I actually hand code my feed. It isn't automated at all. I actually type in all that stuff myself. it's hand coded. But it's usually typically a little bit behind. I think today is the day I actually posted to the feed episode 666, you know, the Sign of the Beast one, and this is episode 678, so I'm about 12 ahead of where I am. I might get up to 15 or 18 on this trip, because usually while I'm out doing this Clayton run, I really don't have time to upload either. I don't have time to get on the... And I don't really have the access. Either the place I sleep at, where I'm going, is very, is out in the boonies. And I like it that way. Beautiful, beautiful. I like going to state parks because I take, you know, it costs me $10 a night. And I'm pretty happy. A lot of my spare money that I make off of per diem that I don't really end up using. I go out, I do travel. It isn't that I make up the travels I do. I do overnight. But I don't overnight in expensive places. I economize as much as I can. Which is what you'll see from all my servers. I tend to economize. So now, I've gone from my very economical thing, my very economical THTTPD, web server, and I've gone ahead and gone with something that's a little more established. Although THTTPD is a legend in the server community, if there was a community. I don't really think there really is. But THTTPD is very well known. It gets very well used for certain circumstances. If you have I'd have to say that more often than not, if you're like programming your router through a web interface or doing something like that, I'd almost have to say that by and large you're using either THTTPD when you're doing that. That's actually what's running on the router, or some variant of it. It's a very commonly used one for embedded applications. It's kind of so tiny. But I found out that with my bigger server, that wasn't necessary, and I found some reasons to go ahead and update and use the big Hummer. Why not, Jay? why not just use it? I mean, I've got the darn thing turned on all the time. It's got to be turned on to receive connections and to take requests anyway. So I might as well have the thing actually doing something, sitting there waiting. And so Apache provides me that, and pretty soon I'm going to be exploring different ways of working with Navigium. I want something simple and clean. I don't like glitzy interfaces. I'm not a Web 2.0 type of person at all. Anyway, so that's kind of where I stand there. Seems pretty good. It just makes it so my web server is a lot more programmable. I used to use Zope quite a bit at the very beginning, probably for about a year and a half, the very first, 2004, 2005 territory. When I threw up my first web server, I decided to go with Zope. And although I liked Zope, I found it just too complicated. You know, it had so much functionality, so many features, and so many little doodads and gee whiz thingies and stuff like that. Byzantine. It was Byzantine. It was very complex. And to get it to do something interesting took a lot of work. And I had always been attracted to the CGI way of doing things. This is very simple, very open, very simple. And that, of course, is one of Apache's fortes, being able to do things that way. I played a little bit with PHP, but not too much, and I don't find myself much attracted to it. Although I may end up doing it anyway, because I think it's a better... I think it's a better server than, like, well, I don't know. I haven't really tried with Perl yet. Although I do have Perl set up, I'm all set to go when the moment arrives, and I want to try to start using Perl, which is a programming language, actually a scripting language, for my CGI. I'll try that. There's a few other things I can use, too. And, I'm hoping to have some fun playing with it and experimenting and throwing it out there and just seeing what people think. Although I am way off in the trailing edge, but not so much so that I'm trying to impress people with, like, putting a Sinclair ZX180 as a web server. I find that's not the kind of challenges I want. I want something, you know, one has to find their comfort zone and then pursue interests and challenges there. And so I'm kind of doing that. I mean, I could put up a ZX81. I could put up any number of my computers now using my Linux box as kind of a router to do it. It wouldn't be hard at all. I could serve pages through a serial port, and that's really. I could probably go for that. Almost using it kind of as a CGI thing to pass things through kind of a go-between piece of software. And running it, and kind of running a CGI thing through there. Making it really simple for the thing on the other side. There's no point making it into a big rigmarole. I'm actually picturing the ZX81 kind of plastered to the side of my server with a hole drilled in with a couple of wires in there. You know, kind of like kind of some wart on the side of my thing that actually runs a web page. It's kind of dynamic and kind of interesting. I might give it a go. One never knows what one wants to do. And if you go to my website, you'll see that I'm kind of an HTML, what was really the good one? It isn't two. A lot of things, they add a lot of interesting things to two that just kind of never caught on. And they kind of dumped that. I think HTML3 really ended up being the one that got some mass appeal. So I think that's pretty much what I use. I tend to use HTML 3.2-ish stuff, but without forms. I don't like gitsy garbage. I don't really go for tables and stuff like that. Anyway, you can go over to the website at quixqix.us. I don't think there's really that much on there. There's a lot more, and I have tended to throw most of my content onto the Gopher server. Sometimes it makes its way to the web server, but usually not. The web server is really a couple of a bunch of web pages that I kept back in 2004-ish territory for work, and I gave them a promise that I would keep those things up, and they're kind of split between the website, which is called Old Site, and the Gopher. Of course, you can always get access to the Gopher. There's all kinds of other things there, and we're going to be working on the wonderful Navigium site very soon, and it's just mostly going to be the I hesitate to call it a book because I don't know if it'll ever really come down to being in book form. I think it really has more of a life as more of just a very, very extended project, an extended world that I find interesting. So check my mail real fast, see if there's anything come up. Oh, just garbage. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's see what else. Control my appetite. Yeah, good luck. Okay, anyway. So that's really all I have for this particular podcast. A little bit of a technical one to kind of tell you what's happening kind of in the background, what we do kind of behind the podcast and everything else, my basic web presence, or not my web presence, really my internet presence. I've got the web server, but I've also got the much larger Gopher server. And for those of you who are adventurous, for those of you who are willing to do a little bit of research, find out a little bit of history, internet history, those of you who are willing to take some chances, you can go to the Gopher space and see what interesting things are there. Lots of pictures there. A little bit of information, a lot about hiking trips that me and my kids have had. And anyway, so that's about all I have this time. If you'd like to contact me, the email address is autism, AUTISM, at quix.us. Someday I'll tell you about all the history of my email servers and what I'm currently using now, and maybe you can even give me some tips as to what you think I should be using instead of the setup I have now. But I'm reasonably happy with the one I have now. It serves my needs, so I'm not in a big desire to make changes. But I'm always interested to to explore the possibilities. Anyway, this is Jane Emerald, episode 678. Have a great day.